the righteous be glad and rejoice in God. May they be happy and joyful. A happy heart makes a face cheerful. And I know that there's nothing better for men to be happy and do good while they live, that everyone may eat, drink, find satisfaction in all his toil. This is the gift of God, to be happy. And that's what I would want for all of you and for myself, and I'm sure we want for each other. Now, coming back to the songs, Don't Worry, Be Happy is only one of those songs, isn't it? There's lots of songs to do with being happy. So, Pharrell Williams, 'cause I'm happy, clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do. I hope that's putting a smile on your face anyway. And then there's Happy Day, Sister Act, the one that goes, oh, happy day, oh, happy day, oh, happy day, happy day. When Jesus washed, oh, Jesus washed. Anyway, you know the rest of it. So that's in Sister Act 2. Then there's the old children's song. I'll bet some of you remember this one. I'm H-A-P-P-Y, I'm H-A-P-P-Y. I know I am, I'm sure I am, I'm H-A-P-P-Y. Remember that one? I'm going to put it on gallery view because I can't tell if anyone's actually smiling or if you're all just going, what is he on about here this morning? At least give me some encouragement, guys. Right, okay, so, and then there's My Lips Shall Praise You. Now, what's that got to do with happiness? There's a line in that song, my lips shall praise you, and it goes on, you're the source of happiness. In it. So Jesus, the source of happiness. So that's what we're looking at this morning. Now listen, it's no good, I was reflecting on this, it's no good as going out and doing outreach and trying to encourage people to come to church and join us if when they get to church with us, they just see a bunch of miserable people. Is that right? You know, if all that they do when they come to us is come and see us looking miserable, looking down, having the weight of the world on our shoulders, and talking about all our ailments and all our problems and how difficult life is and everything else, they're going to think, well, what have you guys got that we haven't? We've got all them troubles out here. We don't need to come to church to just get more depressed. People, they want to come and they want to find people who have got some answers, who have got some joy. Can we stop with the comments on chat, please? I think, Matt, can we disable chat? Because people are just making fun of my singing on chat at the moment in the middle of this. It's distracting. good. At least it's making us all happy. So when people come in, they want to find answers, not more problems. They want to see some joy. And yes, we need to be real with one another. We all know that. You know, we're not, it isn't that when we become a Christian, everything's all rosy and there's no problems anymore. We all know that. And it's good to be real with one another. But there should be a joy about us coming together and a happiness, even in some of those circumstances. That would be what God would want from us. What if they came because they heard about us and celebrating and enjoying ourselves, if they saw us being happy and celebrating Jesus, would that be attractive to people? That we can be positive even in the midst of bereavement, even in the midst of difficulties, would that be attractive to people outside of the church? Would they say, what have they got that I haven't? And the answer, of course, is Jesus and the strength that he gives, and that solid foundation on which we build our lives. Now, I was struck by something. It really hit home to me, this, what I'm talking about now, about 10, 11 years ago, when I heard a Radio 1 DJ, Chris Moyles, talking on the radio about a Christian service that he'd been to. He'd just seen, he turned on his telly on and this Christian TV channel or whatever had come on, and it was a church in Peterborough, I think it is. And he was absolutely gobsmacked by what he saw. And it really stuck in my mind when I heard what he said. So this was live on Radio 1 during the week with all his Radio 1 team, and this is it. So that was a long clip, I know, but I just wanted to keep it playing because you see that the he just couldn't believe it, Chris Moyles. He was like, yeah, but it was amazing. It was amazing. I just can't get over it. It was amazing. And it was the joy and the celebration. Now, I don't think you have to be in a Pentecostal church to have that, or one that everyone's got their hands in the air or anything like that. I just think it's the joy and celebration and feeling of just that comes across that we love Jesus and we're not ashamed of that. We're going to celebrate that. We're going to rejoice in that. And we all know a baptism service is a great occasion when we're celebrating what God's done in someone's life. But the joy that is there made a massive impression on Chris Moyles and got people talking about it, got these non-Christians talking about it. And if church was like that, I'd want to go. Let's all go along there and go, you know, because there was something joyous there and celebratory about it. And being happy can benefit not just us, not just, you know, people who go to church, but can be something that's attractive to people outside of it. And it benefits us even in difficult or bad times. It's possible to be happy. And that's what Jesus says. So you read about Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes, is be happy, is right the way through that. Happy are those who. And some of them have difficult situations, but you can be happy in those difficult situations. In Acts chapter 5, we find the apostles have just been flogged and thrown in prison. And it says they were rejoicing that they were counted worthy straight after that flogging. And then again, in Acts chapter 16, we find Paul and Silas have been severely flogged, it says, and then they're thrown in prison, and they're singing hymns to God after that at midnight. So in the midst of difficulty, people still finding their joy and happiness and turning to God. And in bereavement, in sickness, in the midst of financial worry, being happy can help us through these times. It doesn't take all our problems away. And our problems don't just disappear, as one of the songs says, you know, in your presence, all our problems disappear. They don't disappear. They're still there. But it is possible to find peace and happiness in the midst of these difficulties. How can we do that? How can we find happiness in life? Well, I want to bring you this morning, it's a very simple message. How to be happy. That's my message this morning. How to be happy, and some very simple tips with how to be happy. And the first one, my first tip is, here we go, to walk with God. Walk with God is my first tip on how to be happy. So this one is very simply, first and foremost, about turning to God. Walking with God. We were created by God. We're created in his image, the Bible says. And that was to be in relationship with him. So if we're not in relationship with God, something's going to be missing. We're not going to be happy and able to be content. It's like we're incomplete and we'll never be able to find total peace. So for someone who isn't in relationship with God, they will never find that ultimate happiness and peace that can come from relationship with Christ, because we were created to be in relationship with him. And so we need to restore that relationship with God to find true happiness and life to the full as he intended. And that, of course, as you know, involves believing in him. It involves saying sorry to God and repenting of our sin, and involves then following him. So if there's anyone here this morning, and I'm not aware there is, but if there's anyone here this morning that has never done that, has never said, yes, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus Christ, I'm going to believe in him as the only way to the Father to find this happiness, I repent of my sin, I'm sorry for things I've done wrong in my life, and I want to turn to you, God, and follow you. If you haven't done that, then to find true happiness and contentment and peace, that's what you would need to do, because that would fulfill your relationship, bring you into relationship with your Father, which is why you were created. But for those of us who have done already, then it's about walking with God, following him. Jesus said, make them my disciples and teach them to obey everything I've commanded them. and come be followers of me, Jesus said to people, which means following him in his footsteps and learning to be more like him and following his teaching and walking in his ways. So we can be happy if we walk in the ways of Jesus, if we walk and we walk with closely with God. So that's the first one. It's a fairly obvious one, isn't it? What about a second one? Here we go. Second one is have a purpose. Have a purpose in life. Okay, so to have a purpose, what do I mean by this one? Well, I think to be happy, we need to have something that we're aiming towards. We've got a purpose. And of course, one of the reasons the purpose is why we're here is to be in that relationship with God. But also it can be about finding something worthwhile to do. We all know that having job satisfaction can be fulfilling, can make us happy when we're happy in the job that we're doing or have a job to do, because we've got an aim there. And whether that's paid or voluntary work, it's something, a purpose that we're working towards. If you're really unhappy in your job, then and you've been unhappy for some time, and it's not just a phase that you're going through, then it can be good to try and find something else that you can be happy in. Now, I know that's easier said than done, especially at these times that we're in now. But it's important that we can get up in the morning and not feel every day, oh, just another day doing the same thing and I'm unhappy in what I'm doing. It's important that we can try and work towards having a purpose of something that we can feel positive about. And so whether that's a job or whatever it might be, whether it's a project, whether it's something at home, even if your job's not that thing, it could be a project like doing your garden, a very practical thing. I used to find, I was doing a youth club once as a youth and children's worker in a church that was at previously. And I was developing a youth club at the church and equipping it out and everything. And I used to be very excited getting up each morning, having this project to do, knowing that I was developing this youth club that was going to be attractive to lots of young people. And we were going to have the opportunity to talk to Jesus about them in that place. And it was that thing that made me happy that I was working towards. Have you got anything in your life at the moment that gives you purpose and something to do that can make you happy in that and fulfilled? Working towards goals, whether they're short-term or long-term goals, and aiming for something and believing in that, especially God-centered goals as well. That's another aspect to this. Something that we're doing for God or we're trying to do for him can help make us happy when we have a purpose. Now, we're created for a purpose, of course, in relationship. We're created to look after creation. So even if your purpose is doing something, you know, for God in that kind of way, whatever that purpose is, to try and win a new person to Jesus, you know, try and talk to a friend about Jesus, that gives you a purpose for that day or that week or whatever. So short-term things as well as longer-term things in life. But what purposes have you got in your life at the moment? Either short or long-term, what things can you look forward to in that way that have purpose in life? And if you haven't got something, then it's about trying to find something that can give you that purpose that then you can be fulfilled in and can make you happy. So that's number two, have a purpose. Number three, and these are only ideas, of course. Number three is invest in friendship. Invest in friendship. Okay. So we all need friends to share life with. We were created to be in relationship with, not just with each other, not just with God, rather, but with each other as well. And friendship is important. Now, some people have a wife or a husband, and that can be a friendship. Other people, it's a good friend that they've got. But whatever it is, we all need friends in life. God said it's not good for us to be alone. And I don't think that is just about a husband or spouse, although that was the context perhaps talked about here. We're not meant to do life alone. We're created as relational beings, just as our God is relational. And so we need to see friends, good friends, as valuable. And we need to perhaps invest in those friendships and look to try and invest in friendships more and not take those things for granted, because friendship is important and can help to make us happy as well. I there was a guy that was in the last place I lived in Taunton. He was a neighbour down the road, and he was moving house, and he hadn't been there that long. He'd only been there a couple of years, I think, in this house. And we'd only been there about 2 months, I think. And I'd just got to know him a little bit, just up and down the street when I'd seen him. But I saw his house go up for sale, and I asked him about it. And he said, yeah, he says, I've been here 2 years, he said, but I said, well, why are you moving so quick? Is it work or something? He said, no, he said, I've just moved to the town here. And he said, but I've not made any friends. I don't know anyone really. And he said, I'm just lonely because I've not made friendships. So I'm moving out, so I'm going to try again somewhere else. And I just thought he was so sad that he felt he even had to move house and go somewhere else to find friendship. We need friends. So invest, value friendship, and invest in friendship. Number four, keep a clear conscience. Keep a clear conscience is my number four. You know, doing wrong makes us unhappy. I'm sure that you can agree with that. Doing wrong makes us unhappy. We need to always, if we do wrong, because we inevitably will at times, we need to say sorry. We need to be ready to apologize, and we need to be looking for saying sorry, repenting of that with a friend or whoever it is, and trying to get rid of the guilt, because guilt makes us unhappy. Whether that's guilt before God, if we need to say sorry to God, or guilt with someone else, guilt makes us unhappy. Regret for something we've said or something we've done makes us unhappy. And we need to acknowledge that and say sorry. So that can help with happiness. Adam was in this beautiful garden with God, and he became unhappy and went and hid behind a bush because he did wrong, because he'd sinned and he knew it. It made him unhappy. So that's keep a clear conscience. Right, here we go. Number five. Also, keep short accounts. Keep short accounts is my number five. What do I mean by that? I don't mean bank accounts. I mean holding on to hurts makes us unhappy. And we need to be ready to forgive. We need to be ready to be reconciled. Don't let the sun go down before you've settled an argument, if at all possible. This is a good one for married couples as well. When we fall out with our spouse, don't go to bed on that argument. Make it a determined choice that you are going to make. When you're in a good mood with each other, when you're getting on with each other, make it a thing that, listen, we both commit that we're not going to go to bed on an argument ever. We're going to sort it. And one of us needs to be the strongest one in the situation, you know. But we need to do that. We make this commitment to each other while we're in a good place. And then don't let it happen. Deal with it before going to bed. That doesn't mean another argument at bedtime. That means we need to just say, you know, look, we've fallen out over this. We disagree on it. You know, and we may disagree strongly, but I love you and you love me, I know, and let's just part this one for now and let's go to bed on a good note. You know, if you can have a little kiss before you go to bed, all the better, and a cuddle, make you both feel a bit better and at least you can sleep more peacefully. We all know to go to bed on an argument is just hard, isn't it? It's just, you just feel bad all night, tossing and turning about it. No matter whose fault it is, no one likes that. And whether you're married or not, you know, if you've had an argument with a friend, you can always pick up the phone and say, look, I'm sorry we fell out before. You know, it's so keep short accounts. Don't let the sun go down before you've settled an argument, if at all possible. Get rid of bitterness and anger. Do you know what? There's nothing worse, is there, to make you unhappy than bitterness that just stays there, than anger that's still there. It just burns and eats away. And if you leave it too long, it's like tar. You know that oil spill that's just happened out in the sea? Where is it? Not the Maldives. Mauritius. Near Mauritius. It just spreads. And it goes all over and just gets worse if it's not contained. You need to deal with it and don't let it spread and grow. Let go and let God bring healing to your life as well, and let other people go from the anger you feel to them as well, and forgive. So that's number five. Number six, here we are. Have a balanced lifestyle. Have a balanced lifestyle. Well, perhaps again, easier said than done, you might say. But try to get a good balance, life balance, of work and rest and play. 1 mile a day, as the old advert goes, helps you work, rest and play. But time for family, if you've got family. Time for yourself to just have that time out, whatever that time out may be for you. Time with God. Don't forget that one, because that's really important, that we have some time just to be with God. You know, even if that, whether that's going for a walk, or whether it's sat in a room by yourself, or whether it's, you know, in the bath, just sitting in the bath and spending time with God, because that's the only quiet you can get in your house, shut the bathroom door and have that quiet time, whatever it is, to have some time just with God as well, is really important. And time for ministry, for serving others and doing things for others in that way. Don't be too busy to enjoy life and enjoy your children and things like that. Avoid the rat race of life. You know, I was in Tunbridge for a while in Kent, was a few years living there. And I used to see people there go into work at, catch the train to London at, you know, 7 o'clock in the morning, and they would get home at 7 o'clock, 7:30, whatever, at night. And by which time the children were in bed and they never got to see the children. Now I know some people, I talked to people who were there and I said, you know, you never get to see your children in the week. You never get to spend time with them or have a meal with them or anything like that, apart from at the weekend, you know? And they said, yeah, but I've got to do it, because if I don't do it, I'll lose my job. And that's the hours I've got to work. I don't know the answer to that one. It's a difficult one. But, you know, and I know that some people have to do that even in Chelmsford. We have to do that, and people commute into London and so on. But I would always look to try, where possible, to have a good balance. Don't just work all the time at the expense of everything else and family and all those kind of things. It isn't a healthy lifestyle to do that. Try somehow to get that balance of time for family, time for yourself, time to enjoy life as well, and children now. Ecclesiastes 5, 18 to 6, verse 3 talks about this quite a bit. In fact, I'll just read that bit for you. This is what I've observed to be good, it says in Ecclesiastes, that it's appropriate for a person to eat, to drink, and to find satisfaction in their toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given them. For this is their lot. Moreover, when God gives someone wealth and possessions and the ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and to be happy in their toil, this is a gift of God. They seldom reflect on the days of their life because God keeps them occupied with gladness of heart. So seeing the toil that we have to do, the work that we have to do, as being satisfied in that, but also having the time to eat and to drink and to spend time with family and to enjoy life. And I think there's a balanced lifestyle that can make us happy rather than it just being all one or the other. So again, I know these things aren't easy, but encouragement of these things can help make us happy. Number seven, we're getting there. Number seven, give yourselves treats. Give yourselves treats. Okay, I don't know why I put a dog on that one. I think it's because dog treats and things like that, and some people like pets, but anyway. Give yourselves treats. Have something to look forward to. This is a bit different to the purpose one. This is something to enjoy. Now, of course, as a Christian, if you're a Christian, then we've got the hope of heaven. That's something for us to take joy in and look forward to. We know. But also in the short term, things like a holiday, and that doesn't have to be abroad. That can just be a little break, a weekend away or something, a holiday to look forward to. I can see some of you there anyway. Put your hand up if you like a holiday, if you like a little break away. Put your hand. There we go. I can see some of you with your hands up. Pete and Teresa Ritchie, I can see you on my screen and you haven't got your hands up. Do you not enjoy holidays, really? Okay, you don't have to answer. Go on. He's laughing too much now to answer. Yes, I spotted you. Anyway, holidays are something to look forward to. A family event, maybe a family party coming up, a celebration or something that might be happening. A shopping trip, going to get something new from the shops. A meal out, maybe not at the moment so much, but a meal out in town. Or a film. That you've got on TV even that evening that you've got to look forward to, or at the cinema. But little things, they can be little things, but something to look forward to. It makes me happy in a morning if I know that tonight there's something good on the TV that I'm looking forward to watching. That kind of is a positive thing in the day. Or if I know I've got something coming up that's good in a couple of weeks' time and I'm looking forward to it, it makes me happy knowing that's coming. It's something to look forward to. I don't know whether that works for you, but I think it does for most people. Having things to look forward to, little treats to look forward to. Buy yourself something nice to eat now and again or something, you know, a little treat, and be looking forward to eating that. But those things make us happy. All right, here we go, number eight. And on that one, before we move on, giving treats. Matthew 26:29, Jesus said to them, I won't drink this wine again until I'm with you in heaven. But he was looking forward to being in heaven with them and wanted them to look forward to drinking again with him. He knew they were going to go through hardship, the disciples, in those early days of the church. But he wanted them to be able to look forward to drinking with him again in heaven. And Paul said, didn't he, in Romans 15, verse 32, Paul talked about looking forward to going to Rome. That was something that was driving him on. As he was going through some hardships. I'm looking forward to being you in Rome one day. So having these treats or things to look forward to. All right, number eight, making others happy, making other people happy. Do something nice for other people can make us happy. It kind of works, that process. So whether we give time to someone or a gift to someone or help someone in a task maybe, that old saying, it's better to give than to receive, it's true. It gives great satisfaction and joy and pleasure out of blessing someone. We know that sometimes when we buy a present for someone at Christmas and we see them opening it, or birthday, is a joy that comes from giving something that someone likes. But giving time to someone, helping someone. So make others happy. Do something nice for them. In the Bible, we're commanded, you know, to do good. And 1 Timothy 6, verse 18 and 19 says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds. And Hebrews 13, 16, don't forget to do good, to share with others, because it pleases God when we do that. But I'm telling you that it also pleases us. It makes us happy too when we do good for others. So make others happy. Number nine, we're nearly there. Have a positive attitude. Have a positive attitude. Okay, have a positive attitude. Always look on the bright side of life. Remember that song? Shall I give you another song? Always look on the bright side of life. Do-do, 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 do-do. Good, I can see a few of you nodding along to that one. Well done. Andy Allen was just shaking his head going, oh no, what is he doing? Yeah, always look on the bright side of life. You know, I've heard that one, and maybe you have as well. I've heard that one done in a funeral, funeral service, people playing that one. I don't know, you know, I don't think that can be quite as much if they're not a Christian. But if they're a Christian, there's a bright side to life, certainly, because we know where they're going. The glass half full mentality isn't a positive one, obviously. So think positive, even in bad and negative circumstances. Let's try and be positive. And that's what Matthew chapter 5 is all about. Happy are those who are, and then it lists all the different things. We can be blessed and happy in difficulties. And that brings us right the way through to number 10, which is your own answers, really. Your answers, because I've just given some examples, but there's lots of things can make us happy, and you can think of things that can make you happy too, and you could share, have some different thoughts on it and so on. But I think the encouragement from Scripture is for us not to worry, to trust our Heavenly Father, and to be happy, to be a happy people, that we can be happy and fulfilled in Christ, that we can find joy in the everyday things that we do, that we can look for little ways to stay positive and happy, and to look to our Father in heaven to help us in that. And I want to encourage you this morning, and they were just some ideas and thoughts, but I want to encourage you to don't worry, be happy, even in the midst of all COVID-19 and everything that's going on, even in the midst of your troubles and difficulties, which I'm sure you face as we all do at times. But let's be encouragers of one another and joyful, and may that be a witness to unbelievers outside, that the way that we cope through this time, different from others, with the strength that can only come from the Lord, the peace that comes from him, the joy that comes from him, and as we take that and are encouraged by it from Scripture. Amen.